What I would share with you this day, I declare in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're focused on the gospel lesson this morning. And the whole of this morning's gospel lesson seems to be about John the Baptist. And yet, it is actually a retrospective, a recollection and retelling of events in John's life leading up to his death sentence, a death sentence that was issued by Herod. So while the story seems to be about John, I'd like for us to give it a second look and listen, a fresh hearing, if you will, because I'd like to suggest that it's a story not so much about John as it is a story about us. While the story focuses on the dramatic, gory, and tragic details of John's beheading, I believe that Mark's recalling the story for us for a different reason. Mark's recalling the story as a way of explaining Herod's reaction to what he had been hearing about Jesus. That's the clue for today's message, I believe. A clue that might be found in something our Lord once said and which Mark recorded earlier in chapter 4 and verse 24. Pay attention to what you hear, or take heed how you hear. In other words, be careful how you respond to what you hear. Use your head to listen, or you may lose more than your life. Let's revisit the story then from that perspective. And before we begin, let me offer you a spoiler alert, namely the conclusion I'm hoping that you'll take away from today's message. Friends, if you take nothing else away from this morning's service, remember this. John may have lost his head, but he gained a kingdom. And unless we use our heads, we run the risk of likewise losing the kingdom. But if, in the words of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians in the reading that we read this morning, if when we hear the words of truth, the gospel of our salvation, believe on this Christ Jesus, we will be marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption of God's own people, to the praise of God's glory. Now to the details. First of all, notice how the story is focused on hearing. Beginning in the first verse we read, verse 14, King Herod heard about it. What did he hear? It's like we've been dropped into the middle of a story. King Herod heard about it. Well, in the verses preceding this morning's reading from Mark chapter 6, the author tells us how, after Jesus had been rejected by the people of his own hometown, he sent his own disciples out on a mission very much like his. He sent them out to heal, to proclaim the good news, to anoint with oil. And they came back from that mission, sharing stories of how people had listened and believed, and how people had been healed. It was this that Herod had heard about how the 12 disciples of Jesus were going about declaring the kingdom of God, that people should repent, and that they were casting out demons and anointing with oil and curing many who were sick. That's what Herod heard. What's more, other people were hearing the reports as well. Because the passage we read goes on to say, Jesus' name had become known. Even in the days before social media, word got around. Now, what's important to notice, however, is how those who heard reacted. What was their reaction, their response? Mark tells us some people simply discounted the power of Jesus, claiming instead that it was actually John raised from the dead, and that this accounted for the powers at work in him. Others suggested it was Elijah, and still others thought he was one of the other ancient prophets returned from life bygone years ago. None of them perceived in Jesus God in Christ, God among them. None of them recognized Jesus for who he really was. You'll remember Matthew's gospel account recording Jesus as having said, "The reason I speak in parables is that seeing, they do not perceive, and hearing, they do not listen, nor do they understand." There's the rub, friends. There's the nub of the problem, even today. We see it in Herod and in the way he listened to John, but didn't really hear him. Herodias, the wife of Philip, whom Herod had married, had a grudge against John and wanted him killed. But Herod, knowing that John was a righteous and holy man, protected him. Even though Herod perceived what kind of man John was, even though he listened to John, he didn't really hear him, and he never really understood him. Mark tells us, when he, Herod, heard John, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. What he had heard from John was certainly more than John's simple rebuking him because he was unlawfully married to his brother's wife. No, instead, recall the message the gospel tells us, the one John had consistently proclaimed: repentance for the forgiveness of sin. He announced the coming of Jesus, who would baptize with the Holy Spirit. John himself baptized Jesus and then later testified, "I saw the Spirit descending like a dove and it remained on him." And the gospel writer John reports further, "I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'" Then later still, in John's gospel account, John the Baptist saw Jesus walking by and said to his own disciples, "Behold, the Lamb of God." You gather all of that up, and it provides a consistent message that John had proclaimed right from the outset of his ministry. And if that had consistently been John's ministry, the outset of his message, is that not safe to conclude that at some point he would have said those same things to Herod? And what of Herod? Mark tells us he liked to listen to him. He may have liked listening to him, but eventually he cut him off short. You see, before Herod could fully understand, he had one of his soldiers behead John. This John who had believed and confessed his faith in the Son of God, this John who had understood Jesus' words, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." This John went to his grave headless, but then to heaven. While Herod, who liked to listen to John, but was satisfied with remaining perplexed, ended up in hell. Now, having said that, let's remember that this is all about our remembering, our hearing, our listening, our understanding. Or may I say, your understanding, your hearing, your listening. May I say to all of you, all who consider yourselves as average Christians, you who take your regular place in these pews Sunday by Sunday, may I say to you, remember how easy it is to become accustomed to Christianity, such that you're no longer moved by John's warning to flee from the wrath to come. Friends, understand that we're all surrounded by evil, and that our wills remain weak and constantly challenged because of our flawed humanity. Are we really all that far removed from the people of Mark's day? Those who regarded this Jesus as little more than one of the prophets? Are some people, even today, not doing any better than Herod when it comes to really understanding. Friends, this is about your hearing. And as earnestly as I'm able to say, I say to any of you that are on the fringes of the congregation, on the fringes of life in Christ, any who like to listen on the occasional Sunday but are content to remain puzzled by much of what you hear of the gospel, don't let John's message fall short of your understanding. Let Herod be an example and a warning. Confused but not convinced, he let a foolish promise destroy him. One cannot be saved even by a great deal of listening if it's not accompanied by understanding. Herod cut John off short, and Herod in turn died short of believing. Another example, you'll remember the Apostle Paul himself met a similar fate after being treated in much the same way as was John. Finally, Paul's testimony was cut short, just as was John's. The writer of the book of Acts tells us that when Paul was arrested in Rome and testified before the Roman governor, Felix, concerning faith in Jesus Christ and about justice and self-control and the coming judgment, Felix cut him short with the words, "Go away for the present, and when I have opportunity, I will send for you." The book of Acts records further for us that Felix used to send for Paul very often and conversed with him, but he left him in prison. You see, a person cannot be saved even by a great deal of listening. And so to any of you that have perhaps been delaying a decision about Jesus Christ, as earnestly as I can, I say to you, don't sell our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ short. A person cannot be saved by listening alone, even by a great deal of listening, unless it's accompanied by hearing, hearing and understanding. The writer of Acts goes on to tell us that Paul remained in prison under Festus, the next governor. He ordered Paul to be brought before his tribunal and even invited King Agrippa and Bernice to sit in. When Paul defended himself and testified that the Messiah must suffer and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to the people and to the Gentiles. Felix cut him short, saying in effect, "Are you out of your mind, Paul?" Paul turned to King Agrippa and asked him, "King Agrippa, do you believe in the prophets? I know you believe." But even Agrippa cut Paul short by saying, "Are you so quickly persuading me to become a Christian?" But remember, friends, this is about us, about you. So let me ask you, you who have only been listening and yet remain perplexed, are you quickly becoming persuaded or standing fast? You who have been making excuses and delaying believing, listen and understand what Paul said to Agrippa. Whether quickly or not, I pray that God not only you, but also those who are listening to me, might become such as I am. Paul's prayer to God was that not only Agrippa, but all who would hear the good news that Paul proclaimed would become such as he was, pointing to his own example, the example of his life. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I was foremost. That was what Paul was, and he confessed. And this is what Paul became. But for that very reason, I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. And this is what those Ephesians were those to whom Paul wrote in the reading this morning. When you heard the words of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, you were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption of God's own people. So let me ask you, is this not what all of us, in our highest desiring, want to become? All of us who have perceived in Jesus Christ the power and the love of the Son of God, do we not long to be fully and completely beloved children of God? You who, like the 12, have been following faithfully, do you not with the Ephesians say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing, just as he has chosen us in Christ to be holy and blameless before him in love." All of you, friends, to whom today, again, God has made known the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, set forth in Christ, do you not feel the Spirit's urging to perceive, to hear, to understand, to receive him without condition as your Savior, not only in your head, but in your heart? When Paul was beheaded in Rome for proclaiming the gospel of Jesus and testifying to that faith in him, the Christians in Rome buried Paul's body. But they continued as faithful followers, even though Paul didn't rise from the dead in that time. And when John's disciples heard about their teacher's death, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. But they continued to believe in John's teaching and in the one who had declared himself to be the Lamb of God, even though John himself didn't rise from the dead. And then when Jesus breathed his last on the cross, remember the words of the centurion who declared, "Truly this man was God's son." Joseph of Arimathea and others came and took down his body and buried it in a tomb. And these others also continued in the way, because Jesus did in fact rise from the dead. From the third day onward, Joseph and others like you and me have believed the message of the angels. He is not there. He is risen. They listened. They believed. They shared that hope with others. It was necessary that the Messiah should suffer and rise from the dead, that repentance and forgiveness of sins be proclaimed to all. And they understood when they recalled gathering around a table with him to break bread. They remembered his words, "Take, eat, this is my body. This is my blood given for you." And so they and you and me, we have all perceived, listened, heard, understood. If Herod, though perplexed, was afraid because he thought John might have been raised from the dead, how much more do we who are wise to salvation, know that our Lord is risen from the dead and has gone before us to glory? How much more can and should each one of us say today, "Just as I am, O Lamb of God, I come. I come." Amen.